Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Imagine you buy a property and make all kinds of profit and then never pay any tax. Sounds illegal, doesn't it? Today on the show, we're going to show you exactly how you can do that. Not only is it legal, it's in the IRS tax code. Today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program from sunny San Jose, California. Our co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
We're back in California.
We are.
Yeah, it's beautiful here.
California's got one thing going for it, and that's the weather.
You got to wonder why so many people are buying houses in California for so much money. And then you get here and you say, oh, that's right, because it's fabulously, wonderfully beautiful. Hey, we've got a great topic today. You know, something that is basically a foundational part of real estate investing when you think long term. But I don't think we've talked about this on our show for many years.
No, well, I mean, back in the day, you know, when equity was happening, people had a lot of equity and they needed this particular technique. But after equity all went away, you know, there was nothing to do for a little while. But guess what? Equity's back.
Equity is back, and properties are going up in value. So what we're going to talk about today is taxes, which, now don't turn away, right? That's not a bad thing. As Tom Wheelwright would say, taxes are one of the most exciting parts about real estate, and much of the tax code is written to support real estate investors. In fact, the very topic today is one of the, probably the greatest tax tool that there is as a real estate investor, certainly one of the greatest tax tools, and that's the tax-deferred exchange, the ability to sell a property and not pay tax today. Now, it's a complicated procedure and process and idea, but the man we have as a guest is going to demystify it for everybody. But before we meet Ron, this is a chance for you as a real estate investor, especially those of you that are new. We get a lot of email from folks that are just starting out in real estate, and you have to begin with the end in mind, right? As Stephen Covey would say, you have to think about your entire picture. It's not just about buying a house and collecting the rents. There's more to it than that. As you continue to grow your portfolio, change your portfolio, buy and sell properties, you're always thinking about what's happening with tax.
So I hate to have to say this, but you know, I've been your co-host going on 10 years now, 10 years this summer. And 10 years ago, there were 16-year-olds listening to the show that today have equity. So we definitely have to come back and revisit this topic because it's a real important topic. You know, as a financial strategist, especially when I was in the mortgage business, I spent a lot of time trying to help people optimize their equity. How can you get more return on equity? How can you get more cash flow on equity? How can you add more units of value? In other words, buy more properties by repositioning your equity. And of course, we did a lot of that with all the mortgage tools that were available back at that time. Well, a lot of those mortgages aren't available today, so it's a little bit more difficult. It's been kind of a moot point, right? Because there hasn't been a lot of equity in the market. But today, equity has come back. So the question is, what's available to us in our investor toolkit to be able to reposition our equity and acquire more real estate?
Well, what a lot of folks do is they buy a property and they get it all fixed up and they get it rented and it sits there and produces hopefully some cash flow and some tax benefits while they're owning it. And then it goes up in value, lo and behold, over time as the tenant pays down the mortgage and the taxes instead of them. And then they decide, well, I'm going to sell. And then they pay tax on the gain. And now they have less to work with going forward. And that seems like what you have to do. But it's not. What the tax-deferred exchange allows us to do is to, as long as we follow the rules, which Ron is going to tell us about today, we can actually move all of our equity forward, buy another property, as long as it follows the rules that Ron's going to talk about today, and not pay any tax today, which is pretty extraordinary.
Well, it's great because, you know, in some cases, if you have a big property that you're moving, then when the equity comes out and you have to pay 15% federal capital gains, and here we are in the state of California, another 10% on top of that.
That's the weather tax.
Yeah, you're talking about 25%. So if you have a $100,000 gain, you're talking about having to pay 25 grand, which could be a down payment on a cash flowing property in a less expensive marketplace. So it's super important to preserve that gain and put it back to work again instead of just turning it over to the government.
Now, before we spend the whole rest of the show talking about ways not to pay tax, which is one of my favorite things to talk about if we're going to talk about tax, you do have to understand that as a real estate investor, you don't let the tax tail wag the real estate dog. You're picking real estate as an investment for what it will do long term, provide cash flow, go up in value, tax benefits, all those things together. So sometimes people get so excited when they learn this, they're like, oh, well, that's all I'm going to do. Okay, well, then you need to just think, is that really fitting your long-term personal investment philosophy? And many times it does. This is a tool that we have used very successfully over the years, and it has fallen in and out of favor, not because of its popularity, but because of what happens in the market. When your house goes down in value, or an investment property you have loses its equity, and now it's worth less than the loan, there's nothing to move forward into another property, right? So there were a couple of years when Ron was parking cars and making lattes, but he's back doing a lot of exchanges. We're going to get the latest on what's happening in that world to find out, because that's, as we're watching the real estate market, it's hot in a lot of places. It's mediocre in a lot of places, and it's red hot in a lot of places.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen gains in some marketplaces 15-20% year over year. Now that doesn't go on forever. And so if you're in one of those marketplaces, you may be asking yourself, well, if this doesn't go on forever, how do I get my chips off the table, right? And how do I reposition that equity maybe to another market where I have a greater chance of upside? Because the thing is, real estate, as we talk about this all the time, real estate isn't an asset class. People want to call it an asset class, but it isn't. Because real estate is unique right down to the neighborhood, the street, the property. And so it's very possible that, well, maybe overall real estate is weak. You might have a market that's really hot, or a few markets that are really hot. And we've experienced that. When all of the real estate starts to get a little hotter, and that's what's been happening right now, you still have markets that are kind of hot and have some room to grow because they still have the supply, demand, and local economic factors. And then you've got the market that has been red hot and has already seen the big gain. And the question is now, if you're sitting on top of that big gain, what do you do? How do you move it from market A to market B and keep your money moving better? And really, that's what optimization is all about. 1031 tax-deferred exchange is a way to move your equity from one place to another without having to pay that tax.
That's one of my favorite things about the tool, is you don't have to buy the same property in the same neighborhood. Now, again, there are some rules we're going to learn today. They're not that difficult, but they're important because this is about whether or not your tax-deferred status is going to be held up. And as long as you follow the rules and you're a good boy or girl, you'll be able to do that. And there's lots of reasons too, as you probably already figured out. So we're super excited to have Ron Ricard back on the show. It's been many, many years since we've had a chance to visit with Ron, and we thought it was time we talked 1031 tax for exchanges today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Live where you want to live, but invest where the numbers make sense. Even better, invest where you have a solid team to support you. We've been hearing great things about Memphis, Tennessee, and Terry Kerr from Mid-South Homebuyers. Since 2002, Terry and his team have been delivering turnkey rental property solutions ideal for out-of-area real estate investors. So, if you're looking for affordable, trouble-free, turnkey investment property, call Terry. Use our resource hotline at 888-510-6838, extension 118. That's 888-510-6838, extension 118. Or find them in the resources area of our website at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Over the last few years, I've had the privilege of sharing the services of Paradigm Life with you loyal Real Estate Guys Radio listeners through our website, www.beyourbank.com, and also on the annual Investor Summit at Sea. Subsequently, we have seen a variety of financial situations across the socioeconomic spectrum and how everyone, regardless of their situation, would improve their financial lives by following the system we specialize in. As a result of this experience, we have created an online e-learning system so anyone without obligation can learn about the infinite banking concept. This free e-learning program is found on our website, www.beyourbank.com. So check it out today. The website again is www.beyourbank.com.
Hello, Robert Kiyosaki. Listen to the Real Estate Guys. They're wild and crazy, but they really know what they're talking about.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program, one of the top downloaded podcasts on real estate investing. Thanks for tuning into the show today. If you're listening in the United States, what we're going to talk about today has to do with the tax code of the Internal Revenue Service. If you're listening outside of the U.S., many of the ideas we're going to talk about today have similar components in other places, but there are countries that don't pay any kind of tax when a property gets sold, and there may be a reason to consider investing there. But so many of our listeners, of course, are from the United States of America that today we're going to talk about the famous 1031 tax deferred exchange. To do that, please welcome our good friend, Ron Ricard. Hey, Ron, how are you?
Doing great, Robert. Thanks for having me.
Yes, indeed. Good to see you again. It's been forever.
It has been too long. We need to do this more often.
Now, we've done tons of events together and spoken at all kinds of things. I remember when you were pretty new in this business, and now you're a veteran in this business. And it just goes to show, if you stick at something long enough, you can rise up the ranks.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I still remember going on a few boat tours with you.
Absolutely. The Summit at Sea, and it's always a fun time to get around other brains. And, you know, I think this is one of the topics, Ron, that, you know, you talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you go out and you speak at real estate offices and you go to investor groups and help people understand this. But at its core, having a 1031 tax deferred exchange as a tool in your tool belt is one of the things to consider as you're not only thinking about selling a property, but even when you acquire a property.
Yeah, like I said earlier, it really is, where do you want to end up? And the property you buy today is not the property you're going to end up with, or hopefully you're going to end up with in 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now. I mean, 1031 is a great tool in that it allows you to get from property A to property B. Don't think of 1031 as a way to defer taxes, because if you do, then you're not using it for its full benefit. The way you use 1031 exchange is to get from what you own today to get to what you want to own tomorrow. Because when you buy a piece of real estate, that piece of real estate is exactly what you want at that particular point in time. But 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, maybe longer, things change. You change. The property changes. The market changes. Your needs change. And to the degree that, you know, you bought a piece of real estate 15 years ago, it was great then. Now it's time to take that money and go buy something different. Different, better, whatever you want to call it. That's what it is for you. What is better for you at this point in time? Is it diversifying? Is it consolidating? Is it moving locations? Whatever. And the 1031 is that fantastic tool that allows you to get from here to there and not pay the tax man every single time.
You know, Ron, that is such a key point. When people are starting out in real estate investing, they look around and they learn what they learn, and they read the books they read, and they pull the trigger and they buy their first property. And at the time, it seems like this is the perfect market, the perfect property. And 5 years later, they're like, what was I thinking? Right? Because they become a better investor, markets change, and so forth. We were using this tool for many years as we went from market to market to market, as, you know, Russ was talking about earlier, as the markets got hot. And here we are again, and the market's getting hot. And so I would imagine your phone's probably ringing a bit more these days.
Absolutely. 2008 to 2012 were pretty ugly. Last year, we definitely saw a big resurgence of the market. I won't quite say we're back to normal times again, and definitely not back to the boom times again, but the market has definitely recovered, and I probably have had my best year in about 7 or 8 years last year, so we'll take it.
Awesome. And I'd also understand that the 1031 part of the business lags behind the general real estate market, because yes, if the market's doing well, I need to be in a property that's doing well for a few years for this to really have maximum effect.
Exactly. I mean, what we're seeing now is people who bought at the bottom of the market. For example, here in San Jose, the bottom of the market was probably 2009. And since 2009, some areas of the county have recovered anywhere from 20 to 40%. And some markets like Palo Alto, maybe even more. So the properties that people bought, the smart ones, when everybody was telling us that real estate will never be the same again and never buy real estate, and the smart ones who bought in 2009, 2010, who had the money, they're the ones who've made money on that property. So one of the things that we're seeing, I started seeing last year, is people are exchanging that real estate. So the properties that they bought just 3 or 4 years ago have made enough money for them. They can re-leverage, take advantage of the fantastic interest rates that are still available to us under today's market, and just take that and go from a $300,000 property to a $500,000 or $600,000 property with pretty much no money out of their pocket.
All right. Well, we've got our sophisticated listeners right now that we're reminding about 1031. They're going, oh, that's right. We used to do those. And then the new folks who are listening. So under the guise of no investor left behind, let's kind of start with the basics. What is a tax deferred exchange?
1031 just refers to a section of the tax code. is a section of the tax code that says, in essence, when you own an asset, a physical asset that you use for business or investment, you can sell that asset, buy a like-kind asset, and as long as you follow the rules, you get to defer paying taxes on the profit that you made on that. So, you own a single-family house, it's been a rental for the last 20 years, you want to sell that and buy a duplex. So you list the property with a good agent. At the close of escrow, the money comes to what's known as an intermediary, which is what our company does. We hold the money. You then go find that duplex. We put the money into escrow and the property closes. In the eyes of the IRS, you sold a piece of investment real estate and you bought a piece of investment real estate. And because you never touched or controlled the money because the intermediary had it, you get to defer paying taxes on the gain that you've made.
Now, that's a critical part. The intermediary isn't optional. You have to have somebody who is set up to do this very job, because you cannot take constructive receipt of the money. As soon as you do, it's taxable.
Exactly. I mean, even if you're closing escrow the very same day, just the fact of moving the money from one escrow to the other constitutes control of the funds. And so an intermediary is required in virtually all 1031 exchanges.
Now, here's the good news. Ron's done this a whole bunch of times. It may be complicated to you, but they really have it down. I mean, it's systematized. It's been proven. It's been going on for years and years. So if this is your first exposure to 1031, I'm going to give you some resources before we're done about how you can really wrap your brain around this. So you mentioned like-kind. Now, that's always been subject to interpretation and one of the questions people always ask. So let me just ask that one. Ron, what does like-kind mean?
Well, when it comes to real estate, that's real easy. It's any kind of real estate anywhere in America. So the key is what you sell and what you buy has to be investment real estate, property used for business or investment. So selling a rental house and buying a fourplex, buying a shopping center, buying a farm, buying a condo – all real estate is like-kind with all other real estate as long as what you're selling and what you're buying are both investment or business real estate. One of the things that most people don't realize is you can do 1031 exchanges on things other than real estate. Last year, I did an exchange for a gentleman who sold an airplane. He sold an airplane. What's like-kind with an airplane?
Another airplane.
Exactly. So we've done exchanges for farm equipment. You sell farm equipment, you buy farm equipment. I've even done exchanges on livestock. What's like-kind with a horse, Robert?
Another horse?
Yes, but guess what? It has to be the same sex, okay? A male horse is not like-kind with female horses. That's absolutely true. So
I think I learned that in kindergarten, so okay, good.
But as far as we're concerned in real estate, all real estate is like-kind with all other real estate.
Okay, so that's actually good news. Yes. I know people get caught up in that. Wait a minute, I sold a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. Do I have to buy another? No. Any investment real estate. What you can't do is sell your residence and buy an investment property.
Correct. Your primary residence has a completely different rule. When you sell your primary residence, as long as you've lived there a couple of years, then you get an automatic tax break. If you're single, you get to keep the first $250,000. If you're married, the wife gets to keep $500,000.
Exactly.
One thing to remember, though, it is possible for a property to be dual use, to be both an investment and a residence at the same time. Maybe you have a granny unit in the back. Maybe you have a home office that you're declaring on your tax return. If you're showing any part of your primary residence as being rented out or being used for business on your tax return, then a percentage of your property qualifies for the 1031 exchange. So it is possible for a primary residence to qualify for both if it's used both ways.
All right, good stuff. So we've got the part about like-kind. That's important. Mm-hmm. We're taking an asset that is investment real estate or business purpose real estate, and we're replacing it with another asset. Now, there's some other rules in order for the exchange to be good. What are those?
Well, there are two main things to remember in an exchange. One is you have a very strict timeline to follow, and then the second thing is how much do you need to reinvest in the replacement property? And the latter especially gets people very confused. So let's start with the former.
Okay.
You have a very strict timeline. From the day you sell your property, you have 45 days to identify what you're going to purchase and 180 days to actually buy it.
Okay, so let's stop there because these are the two critical dates. 45 days from the time it closes escrow.
Correct.
Doesn't matter how long it took to list it and on the market and negotiate and all that, but from the time that it actually closes, the clock is ticking.
Correct. And actually, we were talking earlier about really super hot markets. Pretty much all the area between San Francisco right now and Palo Alto is super hot. One thing we're seeing a lot of people have long escrow. So they find a buyer for their property and they're getting 45, 60, I've even seen 90-day escrows, which essentially is giving that seller more time before his 45-day clock even starts. Because you can be in contract on both properties simultaneously, but it is important that you close escrow on the one you are selling before you close escrow on the one you are purchasing.
All right. So I close escrow on that single family house. It was a rental, and I'm going to buy this duplex. Mm-hmm. And so from the time that I close, I have this 45 days. Business days or calendar days?
Calendar days. And if the 45th day falls on a Sunday or holiday, that's your deadline. You do not get the next business day. So it is calendar day is very critical to know.
All right. So I have to identify the property. And that might seem obvious. The one obvious way to identify it is if I'm in contract on that very duplex, right? But there's some rules regarding identification and some different ways you can do it.
There are different ways, but the majority of the people, how they identify is as the intermediary, once they close escrow, we send them a form that they can use to identify. And that now there are a couple different ways to identify. Most clients, if they're only looking to buy one or two replacement properties, they will identify under something that allows them to identify a maximum of three properties. So what does identify mean? Identify means you give us back the piece of paper that you have signed with up to three addresses on there. There are three specific properties, not a three-bedroom, two-bath in Santa Clara. It is an exact piece of real estate that you're going to be purchasing, and you can identify up to three of them. During the 45 days, you can change your mind on those as much as you want. But when midnight strikes on day 45, the last three properties you've identified to us are cast in stone. You cannot change your mind after that. No extensions, no exceptions, no excuses.
I can't call up and say, but Ron, really? It's not your rule.
It's not our rule. It's the IRS. IRS rule. Exactly.
All right, so 45 days to identify the property. And that clock is now gone. It's 45 days, so we have our three. Mm-hmm. Whether we changed or not, we have our three. Now, we still have time to close. That's the 180 days. We have to close on the replacement property within 6 months.
Correct, exactly. 180 days, which is almost 6 months, you have to close. So you have that long to close on one or more of the properties that you have identified. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, well, most residential real estate closes in 30 or 60 days. Why do I need 6 months? Most exchanges are actually done with commercial real estate. Many exchanges are done with commercial real estate. And commercial real estate can take much longer to close. Also, when you're in an environment that we're getting back into with new developments, just in the last 2 weeks, I've set up two exchanges where people are buying new construction as their replacement property. And so to the degree that it takes 3 or 4 months to finish building up the property that they're buying, you know, then as long as it falls within that 180 days, then that's okay as well. So you know, when we're talking residential real estate, the 45 days is far and away the more critical number to remember.
Now, is it true that when you close on that 45 days during that period, you have to go on vacation? Doesn't it seem like it always happens
that way? You have to go on a cruise. That's what you have to do.
A cruise you have to go on. It's just crazy like that. But these are an important 45 days. Now, again, if you've already identified the property because you have a contract with a close date, that makes Ron's job easier. You identify, here's the parcel number, we have it in contract, we're going to close. The reason you have more than one, though, is so you have the ability to have a backup property. What if something happens, like in real estate it often does, and there's a reason you can't move forward? You're not far enough along, say, in the inspections, and you find out the duplex is completely rotted out and has $300,000 worth of termite damage, and you're not going to go ahead with it. Always a good idea to have some backup properties.
Exactly. It is. Now, I will say that the majority of the clients that we do exchanges for are done with their exchange by the 45 days.
Yeah.
So they've sold, and then 45 days happen. So the majority of people don't even make it to 45 days. Or if they do, they're in a firm contract by then. But you're absolutely right. I mean, if there's any question whatsoever to that property, you want to have those backups. Ideally, The best way to think about it is by day 45, you want to be in contract, you want your inspections done, you want your loan approved, you want to make sure that when you wake up on the morning of day 46, you're not going to get a nasty surprise by the property being sold out from underneath you or something like that. So by day 45, you want to be pretty firm in what you're going to be purchasing.
So these are hard and fast deadlines, 45 days and 180 days. If you don't make them, the answer is really simple. You pay the tax.
Exactly. You get your money back. If you don't identify to us a property within 45 days, you get your money back and you pay taxes. The only thing that you're out is you're out the fee of the exchange. Now, that is something that a lot of people don't think about. Oh, I don't know if I can find a property in 45 days. Oh, I'm not sure what I'm going to find. Oh, I don't know what the market's like. My suggestion to you is that put the money in an exchange. You're buying yourself 45 days to find something. If you aren't sure about doing an exchange, put the money in the exchange. Yes, you've paid the $750 or whatever it cost to set up the exchange, but you're essentially buying yourself another 6 weeks to find something. If you find something, fantastic. You've saved yourself a lot of money in taxes. If you don't, it's a little bit like an insurance policy. You get your money back and you have the exact same tax consequence you would have had you not started the exchange.
And it's an inexpensive policy, if you will. It's not really insurance. You're paying the fee to do it. But I've always been amazed at how low the fee is. I mean, you guys don't gouge. It's been about that much money, under $1,000, for as long as I can remember.
It really is. For us, it's a volume business. The paperwork is the same whether the property is $100,000 or $100 million. So for the most part, the 1031 is, for us, it's a volume business. So it's a flat fee.
All right. So we've talked about the time frame, and that's critical. Let's talk about the other rules. One thing you mentioned is you said property or properties. It's possible that the single family house I have as a rental has enough equity in it that I could buy more than one property. So I can go from one property to four, or from four properties to one, or any combination thereof.
Exactly. Now, a couple things up there. I've done exchanges for as many as 18 properties, and I heard that one of our offices recently did one where a guy bought 100 properties, though I haven't had official confirmation of that one yet.
Wow.
But the idea of selling one, buying multiple, or selling multiple to buy one, perfectly fine. If you do sell multiple, let's say you have three houses you want to sell in order to buy a shopping center or an apartment building or something like that,
yep,
that's okay also. But remember, the 45 and 180-day clock starts upon the close of escrow on that first property. So it's the first one that closes will start that 45, 180-day clock. So if you are selling multiple in order to buy one replacement, you do want to make sure they close relatively close together in time.
Excellent point. Make sure you're orchestrating this. This is why you want to talk to your 1031 intermediary early in the process, not on day 44. Right?
Well, by then, you're 44 days too late anyway.
Exactly. No. It's so funny how people don't think about that when they start the transaction or even when they list the property. And so really the purpose of our show is to get you thinking about it early. In fact, even when you buy a property, that's the start of this potential chain of a lot of 1031s. I can 1031 from property A to B, then a few years later from B to C, and then from C to D and E, and then from D and E to just F, right? You can continue this, and there's a lot of reasons you'd want to do that. Now, let's talk about the other rules, which have to do with the equity that goes forward and the loan amount and those kinds of things.
One thing to remember in an exchange is you are not just deferring your profit. You are deferring everything. So whatever you sell the property for, that's how much you need to reinvest in the new property if you want to pay no taxes.
Right.
So if you sell your property for $500,000, then you need to buy at least $500,000 worth of replacement property, whether it's one property or two or three that add up to the 500. You want to buy equal or greater in value. Now, you can buy less if you sell for, let's say you sell for $500, but you want to buy something for $450. That's okay, but you pay tax on the difference. That's called boot. Boot's what you pay tax on. As a rule, if you don't like boot, if you don't want to pay any taxes, you want to buy equal or greater in value.
Okay, so that would include the mortgage. So that means if I have that property I'm selling for $500 is a $100,000 mortgage and $400,000 worth of gain. I mean, that'll be profit to me because some of that may be original down payment and so forth. But I can buy the new property with a loan as well.
Right. And you know, please don't confuse equity with gain. If you're selling a $500,000 property with a $100,000 loan, you have $400,000 of equity. You may have a dollar of gain, or you may have $499,000 of gain.
Right.
You don't know what the gain is. So be very careful when you're using the terms gain and equity. They're not interchangeable at all. In an exchange, though, you also have to reuse all of that equity towards the replacement property. So in your example, you have $400,000 of equity in that property. All of that money needs to go into the replacement. Any cash that you have left over, any money that comes back to you, you pay tax on. Now, what it also means is that $100,000 of loan that you had on the first property, you need to replace that also. Now, you can replace that with another loan, which is what most people do, or you can replace that with your own cash. You don't have to get another loan if you don't want to. But as a rule, most people don't want to come out of pocket when they're buying something more, or if they do, it's not too much. The key is you want to buy equal or greater in value and then use all the equity towards that replacement property.
All right, if you're not taking notes, that's okay. Before we're done, we're going to give you some resources to remember all this great stuff. We're talking with Ron Ricard today about the 1031 tax-deferred exchange. More when we come back, plus we'll play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
you know what city was ranked number one on Clear Capital's list of highest performing metro markets just this February? It was Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, this is Ken Corsini with Georgia Residential Partners. If you haven't heard, Atlanta has just begun an incredible road to recovering real estate values. With an unprecedented demand from investors and a shrinking supply of inventory, properties in the Atlanta market are poised for tremendous growth over the next few years. At Georgia Residential Partners, our mission is to help as many investors as possible buy turnkey, cash-flowing properties in the Atlanta metro area with as little headache as possible. With conventional and non-conventional financing available, we can help just about any investor in any number of situations buy residential properties in this market. Check us out online at gainvesting.com or call our office at 770-924-5450. Don't let this window of opportunity pass you by.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. And why U.S. real estate continues to drop, Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Simon Black from SovereignMan.com, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, talking this week about building your empire in real estate using the 1031 tax deferred exchange. Before we get back to the interview with Ron McCart, it's time to play real estate trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. In a moment, I'm going to give you a question that has something to do with real estate. In fact, a specific piece of real estate. In fact, a specific piece of real estate right here in San Jose, California. As soon as you hear the question, think you know the answer, send an email to us to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Be sure to include your name and your mailing address so that if you're the winner, we can give you a copy of this week's prize. It's called My Next Step. It's a great book by Dave Leniger, the founder of REMAX. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on The Real Estate Guys, we were in the middle of the ocean for the 12th Annual Investors Summit at Sea, and we asked which U.S. state has the fewest trees. The answer, Hawaii, with just over 300 million cubic feet of trees. By the way, the U.S. state with the most trees, in case you were wondering, is Oregon, with over 87,000 million cubic feet of trees. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. The Winchester Mystery House is a very famous piece of real estate right here in the Bay Area, once owned by Sarah Winchester. Here's our question. What famous product did her husband William's father make? Sarah Winchester was married to William Winchester. His dad was famous for something. What was it? If you know or want to take a guess, simply send your answer to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. The first person with the right answer will win a copy of My Next Step, the amazing book by Dave Leniger, co-founder of REMAX. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're in sunny San Jose, California with Ron Ricard, and we're talking about the 1031 tax deferred exchange. And Ron, you've just explained to us some of the rules and guidelines, which is critical to understand. What else do we need to know if we're contemplating a 1031 to make sure that it's valid and that it goes through?
A couple things. One is that you need to make sure that you have an intermediary involved before the close of escrow, because it's not just involved at any point. We need to be involved before the close of escrow so that the title company or settlement officer or closing attorney, whoever you're using to do your transaction, knows where to send the money upon the closing of the property. So that's the first thing. Now, there are a couple of red flags, a couple of things you want to be very careful about. As a rule, if you're selling the property, you don't want to have seller financing, because seller financing can mess up your exchange to some degree. So you do need to be careful about that. One area where we have a lot of issues also is the vesting. Who's selling the property? Now, for example, if Robert's selling the property, Robert needs to buy the replacement property. He cannot give the money to his son to buy the replacement. He cannot use that money to buy into an LLC because an LLC is not considered to be owning real estate. It's considered a partnership interest. So what's important in an exchange is whoever the tax entity that is selling the property, that same tax entity has to be buying the replacement property. And we probably have more people trip over that than we would like to by far.
Well, all this emphasis on asset protection and putting properties in LLCs and all of that, you just have to understand that's your attorney helping protect your assets. We're talking today about your tax professionals, and I would throw you into that category, even though you're not a CPA or anything, but this is a really important part of understanding tax on real estate, that they're looking out for preserving your equity going forward and minimizing your tax structure. So sometimes those things are in opposition, and sometimes they work together, and that's why you get professionals ahead of time before you attempt to do this. Don't try this at home, right? Get some help.
One thing to clarify, if you have an LLC can do an exchange. A corporation could do an exchange. If you and a few buddies got together and bought a piece of real estate together, and let's say on title your tenants in common, which means you each have individual interests in your property. When you sell that property, each one of you can do whatever you want with your individual interest. So if you sell a property for $500 and there are four of you in there that each own 25%, each of you can do whatever you want with your $125,000 share of that property. If you created an LLC or some kind of partnership or entity that owns that property, that entity can still do the exchange, but it has to be the entity doing the exchange. Corporation sells, corporation buys. LLC sells, LLC buys. So, where you have to be careful about is if you don't like your partners anymore and you want to each go your own separate ways, that's when you really need to consult a very good tax attorney or CPA who can help you structure what you need to do in order to get where you want to go.
Well, speaking of tenant in common interest, the same thing works if I own a property with other tenants in common and we go to sell. We can buy, I could exchange into an entire property or another tenant in common interest, couldn't I?
Correct. Yes. Yes, you can. Exactly.
As long as all the rules and the timelines are followed. Critical stuff. I think one of the most interesting things is how people use this. And of course, without divulging any client secrets, maybe give us some examples of ways that your clients have successfully used a 1031.
The question of when to do an exchange really has to do with what property is right for me today versus the property I own today. And I'll give you a good example. I often deal with people who are at the point of life where they're wanting to think about retirement. Now, what that means is, they have a nice piece of real estate, but maybe it's in an area that has great appreciation, but in terms of rents, not so good. So the idea of selling something in a market that has high appreciation into a property that has great cash flow, you're essentially taking that same amount of money and maybe doubling or tripling your cash flow. I'll give you a good example. I worked with a woman a few years ago. She sold a house for $1.4 million. She went to Las Vegas and bought 18 houses in Las Vegas. And her reasoning was twofold, which I thought were fascinating. The first one, which was the most obvious to me, her rent tripled overnight. Just from a cash flow point of view, she went from one property to 18 properties. And while I know there's management and et cetera involved, but her income, even after management and everything, literally tripled overnight. But the second reason she did it, which I think is an even more interesting use of it, is she also used it as a retirement strategy. Because, she's thinking to herself, I'm getting to the point I want to retire. If I sell that property, if I need money and I sell one property, I'm going to have to pay all the taxes all at once. Whereas by having 18 properties, if she needs some money, she can sell one property, pay a little bit of taxes. Next year, she sells another property, pays a little bit of taxes. And so in a way, she was using the 1031 as a retirement strategy in order to spread out her tax obligation over many, many years.
All right. Well, that's a great example. And that's the thing is that it is different for everybody. Just like your personal investment philosophy dictates the kind of stuff you invest in. As you change, as your appetite changes, maybe you're starting out and you're rehabbing houses and you're rolling up your sleeves. And one day you go, forget this. I just want to own a strip mall that's, a triple net lease situation. The 1031 can be a great tool for that.
Yeah. You mentioned flipping a property, buying a fixer-upper, fixing it. One thing to remember, fixing up a property, flipping a property does not qualify for 1031 exchange.
Ooh, excellent point, right? So this is important. I was thinking, of course, in terms of over the life of a property,
of course,
you do repairs.
Yes.
But this is critical. I'm glad you brought this up. Because if I'm in the business of buying a house, fixing it up, and turning it, it's a different story.
It's exactly. If you buy something for the purpose of reselling it, it's a little bit like you going down to your local supermarket and buying a piece of beef. You know, basically, they bought the cow, they cut it up, and they sold it to you. That's exactly what a fixer-upper is. You're buying it, you're fixing it up, and you're selling it, and you're selling it. So investment real estate is typically real estate that you run a business from, real estate that you get income from, like rental income, or in the case of bare land, that's considered to be investment real estate because it's held for appreciation purposes. So that all of that's investment, but buying a property and fixing it up and selling it is not considered to be investment.
All right. So a lot to understand here for sure about 1031s. I know one of the questions that happens a lot because we're now heard in so many countries is people say, well, Ron, if I am a U.S. citizen and I own property in, say, Mexico, is there any way that I can use the 1031 in that scenario?
In the 1980s, Congress changed the rules on 1031 exchanges that when you sell in the United States, you have to buy in the United States. So if you sell in California, you want to buy in Texas or Florida or Hawaii. I've even done exchanges to Guam and the U.S. Virgin Islands. You cannot go to Puerto Rico, but don't ask me why. But if you own real estate in other countries, no, you cannot do an exchange from Mexico into the United States or from anywhere else. There are ways of doing an exchange from a foreign country into another foreign country. But that's a much more complicated process, and you know whether or not the tax ramifications are justified doing that is something to discuss with a good international tax attorney. But no, as a rule, what we deal with is U.S. real estate for U.S. real estate.
All right. If somebody wants to educate themselves further about this, Ron, I know you guys have some great resources.
Yeah, we have a great website. We are one of the few really national 1031 exchange companies. We have offices from California to Florida to Boston to the Northwest. So we are a national company. Our website is ipx1031.com, like I like Indian, P like Paul, X X-ray, 1031.com. Our company is Investment Property Exchange Services, and we are the nation's largest intermediary by far. And on that website has lots of tools, lots of things for you to look at when it comes to exchange topics, calculators to figure out your taxes, all that kind of stuff. And if you are interested, just plug in your zip code or what state you're in, and your local rep can pop up. I happen to be one of two people who work in Northern California, though I do exchanges across the country.
All right, good stuff. Now, we also still broadcast in the Northern California market. So for someone who's listening here in the Bay Area, how would they reach you directly, Ryan?
I have a toll-free number. Again, I work with people all over the country. My toll-free number is 877-747-7875. 877-747-7875.
All right. Well, it's certainly great catching up, and thanks for the wealth of information.
Fantastic. Anytime. Hopefully we'll do it again and we'll be 5 more years.
There you go. We turn to the Real Estate Guys radio program, more on the wonderful tool of tax savings and deferment when we come back. I'm your host, Robert Helms. We're the Real Estate Guys.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Choosing the right market is one of the most important decisions you need to make as a real estate investor. You're looking for infrastructure, diverse and durable industry, and the right kind of jobs. So let's see if you can spot this market. It's home to more than 80 accredited universities, a Federal Reserve Bank, and more than 1,200 multinational companies. Need some more hints? It's one of the top 10 MSAs and is home to 10 Fortune 500 companies, including UPS, Coca-Cola, NCR, and Home Depot. Still stumped? It's third on the list of most Energy Star buildings in the U.S., has the second tallest hotel in the Western Hemisphere, and it boasts the world's busiest airport. Did you guess Atlanta? You're right. And there's so much more to discover about Atlanta, including the specific neighborhoods where fully rehabbed houses cash flow like crazy, yet sell to investors for far less than $100,000. So come take a look. Join the Real Estate Guys investor field trip to Atlanta, Georgia. For all the details, visit realestateguysradio.com and click on events. Experience this incredible market for yourself and hang out with the Real Estate Guys. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes. You're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Have fun. You'll learn something.
And welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Lots of good stuff from Ron Ricard there. I've forgotten how much he knows about 1031 tax credit exchanges.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, I kind of forgot how much I knew and then had forgotten.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's back in vogue, right? I mean, there was that period of time, and I know that Ron's business was slow because of it, but just no one was talking about it. Investment club meetings, I mean, an email that comes in to ask the guys, no one was asking about exchanges. And today we're starting to get that. So kind of at the front end of this, and it's because we're going to start to see people, two things. One, equity and property, and that always helps. But two, people are making a change in their use. I think he nailed that totally. When the reason you bought is not the reason you'd keep the property, when what your personal investment philosophy has done is change over time, then the property has to change, and that's one of the great tools. Now, I know a lot of people think, why on earth would the IRS not tax you when you sell your property? And I think we should cover that. And really, I don't know, because they haven't confided in me. But I'm going to guess it's because they're not complete idiots. If you pay the tax, then you have less money to buy forward and you own less real estate and so forth. By deferring the tax, you're going to build up more and more and more until, like that woman that Ron talked about with the 18 houses, they're going to get their tax. Eventually, they're going to get their tax. Now, there are, of course, of ways to continue to defer the tax on down the road, but many people will find that the tax basis that they have gets larger and larger and larger because of this tool.
Well, yeah, and I think the bigger thing is, too, it's just like with the retirement programs. You know, why would they not tax you while your wealth is building, you know, down the road? In some cases, it's, you know, they're going to get a chance to tax a much bigger piece of the pie. So exactly to your point, you know, in the case of a retirement account, it actually rolls over from capital gains, long-term capital gains, to ordinary income. And of course, right now, there's a difference in that. Capital gains are a lot less. And so, you know, in an environment like this where, you know, capital gains have been reduced down to 15% federal, you're like, okay, well, you know what, I'll pay the 15%. If all of a sudden you see capital gains get up to the same level as ordinary income, maybe back up to 25% plus estate, I think Ron's business will start booming even more because people are going to be much more concerned with how do I mitigate that tax risk. I think the bigger thing is I think the real estate business of investing is coming back to life. I mean, we've been around long enough. We've done this long enough to see the cycle. And, you know, we were at that convention in Houston a few months back. And while we were there, we saw lots of newbies coming in. You know, we talked about just demographically what's going on at the top of the show with a lot of young people who are now entering in and they're looking for ways to make money. And you've got baby boomers and folks like that now that need to make a little extra money, and they're getting out of the day job and they've got a little time on their hands. And some of these folks are getting involved in real estate investing. There's a lot of reasons why it's happening, but the main thing is it is happening, and equity's happening right along with it. And with that said, the tool of 1031 tax deferred exchange is going to be something that people are going to want to get up to speed on. They're going to want to know how to incorporate it into their overall investment strategy. And one thing I remember back from the day, and it was reminded of today again, is you can't wait until the last minute. You don't wait until you've decided, okay, now's the time to sell my property. Now I got to figure this out. I remember talking with Bob about 1031 exchanges, and he would say, hey, you know what? You need to start planning your tax deferred exchange, you know, maybe 12 to 18 months before you actually go about the business of selling the property. So now is the right time to be learning about this because, you know, the market is heating up and there's going to be even more equity happening. One of the things Ron talked about is how this is kind of the leading edge of what's going on. You know, the people who bought at the deepest down part of the recession are now having equity. But what about the people who bought last year? You know, they're going to have a little bit more coming down unless, you know, we have another train wreck coming, which nobody knows if we do or we don't. But if we do, now would be a good time to get that equity off the table.
Absolutely. And the market changes depending on whether it's strong or not and which side of it you're on. I remember we had a listing on an 8-unit property in San Jose, and we had a broker who identified us as their third property. Lo and behold, at the end of the day, the end of the 45 days, the first property, their favorite property, didn't go through. The second property had been sold. We were the only available property that matched their 1031 list. So they had one choice and one choice only at that point. Well, I guess they had two choices. They could close on our property or they could pay the tax.
They could pay you or they could pay Uncle Sam.
So they chose to pay a very good price for my seller for that property. And it's just one of those things that it depends on what's happening in the marketplace. It's a hot market right now. So because of that, this is a tool. But it also means when the market's moving quickly, you better make sure you've talked to your intermediary beforehand.
So that reminds me of another thing, how you can use the knowledge of the 1031 tax deferred exchange option as a tool. You know, I remember a deal we did where a guy had accumulated, I think, 18 different buildings, all separate APN numbers, right? And he wanted to do a 1031 tax deferred exchange. He probably could have made more money selling each property individually. But to Ron's point earlier, the minute he sold property one, the 45-day clock started ticking and his 180-day clock started ticking.
And good luck coordinating 18 closes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you, knowing that, went in and said, hey, we'll close all of these all at one time, but what do we want? We want a better price. And that better price was cheaper than paying the tax. So he had a certain-to-perform buyer, he had a cheaper price, and he mitigated the tax. And the net-net of it for you, as the investor, was you ended up with the cheaper property. And of course, what did you immediately do? You turned around and sold those things one at a time for a tidy profit.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is that every investor's different. Every stage of their investing career and their portfolio and their basis and all those things is different. And so you have to look at, does it make sense? It may be that the best thing to do is to sell and pay the tax. But many times, having the option to defer and move forward, if you're in this business long term anyway, you want to invest in real estate, then why not invest in real estate when I keep doing it and keep going? I mean, I know Bob's a big proponent of continuing to do 1031s long into the future.
Yeah, defer it until after you're dead, he says. But I do like the notion of using the intermediary fee as, or viewing it as an option against having the ability to mitigate the tax if you find the right property. I mean, you opened up the show by saying don't let the tax tail wag the investor dog. You don't want to end up getting a property, a bad property or a bad market, or the only property that's available just because you're trying to mitigate the tax, because the alligator you buy could eat a lot more than Uncle Sam. So you still want to get into a good deal. But I like the idea of just saying, hey, I'm willing to write a $1,000 check to make sure I have that option.
So many creative ways to use 1031. So if it's new to you, then this is an invitation to learn more. If you go to the website at ipx1031.com, lots of great resources there. And of course, you can always call up Ron and hound him. He'll be happy to answer your questions. There's virtually no 1031 questions you can get by the guy. So good stuff. Hey, big picture on this. The reason we like the 1031 is not that we don't want to pay the tax. That seems like the obvious reason, but it's not. And Ron hit this early on. Don't think of it that way. Here's the deal. If I sell a property and I have to pay a tax bite right now, I have less money moving forward. If I can move more money forward, I can buy more property. And every time I do one, that's true. It'll build your wealth faster, stronger, and better by using a tool like this. You just need to, like a chainsaw, use it correctly. All right, big thanks to Ron Ricard for sharing his information with us. Still time to get signed up for the Secrets of Successful Syndication. We'd love to have you there. It's filling up nicely. It's always a great room of folks, and the people that come out to this event are extraordinary. Always, always meet great people at the event. So check it out on our website at realestateguysradio.com. Click on events, and until next week's show, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life. Powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.